So, at the hind end of another long drive, as I've now returned to the home studio, although I don't have everything set up, so I'm still using my mobile apparatus, I can tell you that there is nothing more difficult than to resist the temptation to slap somebody when they've bought into the lie. And they come just short of accusing you of being the liar. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias diaboli est oppresidium. Imperate lides, supplices deprecamur, tuque princeps militae caelestis, Satanam, aliosque spiritus malignos, qui ad perditionem animarum, pervegantur in mundo, divina virtute, in infernum detrude. Amen. Mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis. Beatus Carolus acutus, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So it was a good weekend, and I hope that you had a very good Mother's Day. If you're a mother, then I hope your children showed you appreciation, and maybe your husband too. And if you're a father, I hope that you showed your wife appreciation as she's a mother. And if you're a kid and you didn't get something for your mom, including the Blessed Mother, shame on you. It is very difficult. It really is very difficult to cope with someone basically either accusing you of being terribly misinformed or accusing you of having bought into the lie, or just actually coming just short of accusing you of being a liar yourself, because I do not want to admit what you say is true. So the recent analysis, when they say that you shouldn't even bother actually going after, liberals, and I mean the whole spectrum of leftism, from the libertarians all the way out to the psychopaths, we're kind of at the point where you can't even really discuss stuff. And during the period of discussion with some people over the weekend, it was like I heard a chant of like little impish demons that were just kind of, I don't know, doing some Oompa Loompa dance around the table as they just kept saying non serviam, non serviam, non serviam. Now it gets really, really tough, especially if they're like friends and like they're actually close friends and family. And truth be told, I mean, nobody wants to get fired for slapping the daylights out of a coworker because they're that dumb. But it was really tremendously difficult for me to not switch into ad hominem. And I came close. I did. I came very close a couple of times. There is an order to nature. There is an order to mankind, and there's an order to creation. And if you're Catholic, then you understand this. You understand this basic implicitly, even if you don't know how to like even if you don't know how to enunciate it and actually describe it and like put it in terms that people can understand. But in the same way that there's an order of operations for the auto cycle in an engine, or an order of operations for a rifle, in the whole theory of operation, this must come before this, comes before this, comes before this, and if all of those things happen in the same or in the right order, then boom, bullet goes flying. Likewise with the car, you know, if all of those things happen in the right order with the right timing, car goes zoom. Well, vroom, technically, but whatever, you know what I mean. There's even an order in how you build a house. You prep the ground, dig it out, place the foundation. Set the frame onto the foundation. Build all of the other, set the frame onto the foundation, run the wires, run the ducting, run all of that other stuff, build the walls, etc., etc. All of those things have to happen in an order in order for you to have a house that's not leaky and has lights and has, heat and air conditioning and all that other stuff. There's an order to things. Even if it's personnel and administration, I mean, you can kind of wiggle, you've got a little bit of wiggle room with some things that you can do. You know, you may not have the parts for this or you might not have the information for that, but there's an order to everything that we do. The only time that there's not order is during a riot. There's even order, however, even in a riot, there's still some semblance of order. It may not be as cohesive. I mean, when you're trying to destroy stuff, you don't really actually have to be like terribly in order, just so long as you break it properly. That part really doesn't matter. But failure to recognize the order in all of creation, failure to recognize that there's a hierarchy of created things, there's a hierarchy to life forms, for crying out loud. If you start at the top for life forms in the material world, then you have man, and then you have the various animals, then you have the various plants, somewhere in there you have the various insects, but there's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy when we classify them, for crying out loud. Every genotype and phenotype has it's part of a hierarchy. You can branch it out and the way we identify them, and there's, when you get done, it actually kind of looks like brackets for the NBA championships. But even the brackets for the NBA championships denote a hierarchy. Now, granted, it's a hierarchy that shows itself through competition, but it's still a hierarchy. Failure to understand that, failure that there are going to be some things that are subservient to other things, is a failure to understand that a pack mule or a workhorse, yeah, it's a living creature, it's an animal, but it has a function according to the way we train it. And to reject a hierarchy, any kind of hierarchy, on some level, is to say, well, okay, then the horse is the one that gives the human instruction. And in the same way that a husbandman of a horse has to do things for the horse, provide things for the horse in order for the horse to remain healthy and it can actually perform the work, is actually the same way that the hierarchy works even among humanity. The owner of the horse is a husbandman to some degree. Now, he may hire somebody to clean out the stables and all of that, but the stables have to be cleaned. The horse has to be fed. The horse has to be trained. And if the owner of the horse doesn't do those things, doesn't arrange for those things to be done, then basically he's got a wild horse and he's not going to get any work done with the horse. But in the same way that is true for the horse and the husbandman, that's the same way it's true for the king and the people, or the husband and the family. And there's a reason why, in fact, I'm really glad that I accidentally stepped on that word, husband, because the husbandman of a horse has the same responsibilities for the horse as a husband does for his wife and for his children. Now, I'm not saying that the wife is the horse, but in the hierarchy, the husband's the one who's responsible for providing the food. The husband's the one who's responsible. Now, providing the food doesn't mean necessarily preparing the food. But he's responsible for providing the food, for providing the medical care, for providing the shelter, for providing. The wife, we can step on over to the word midwife, because with the midwife demonstrates the functions for the wife. So the husband and the wife are both the father and the mother of the family. They have responsibilities as the father and as the mother, and then they have responsibilities as the husband and as the wife. And simultaneously, the husband and the wife have you can see it in there. I don't actually have to draw out every single piece. But there's a reason why they call a couple that gets married a husband and wife. I now pronounce you man and wife. I mean, usually it's man and wife, but it doesn't really matter terribly much anyway, because once the man has a wife, he is now a husband. And all of the responsibilities of husbandry become his. So when St. Paul says, wives, obey your husbands, you have to have an understanding of what the frickin' word husband means in order to fully understand why you should obey the husband. Because it's not like go make me a sandwich. Because she can't make you a sandwich if you didn't provide the money for the food. She can't make you the sandwich if you didn't actually go grocery shopping and pick out and make sure that you guys got the food that was healthy for the family. She can't do none of that. So go make me a sandwich is moot. To pair together the husband and the wife is to pair together two sets of responsibilities so that you have a working, operating family unit that can then become the father and the mother of the family and raise the family and, if done properly, not just a family, but a great nation. If you ever, I know this is going to rub some people the wrong way, and I don't care, because it has to be said. Wives, if you ever wonder why the yoke is so chafing, ask yourself, are you really doing the things out of a commitment, out of justice and charity? Now, mind you, I'm saying justice and charity because I don't want to say the word love, because the word love has the wrong connotation in English for this conversation. Because if you're a husband, then you make a commitment, and that commitment is a commitment under the virtue of justice and under the virtue of charity. If you're a wife, you do the same. And the reason why marriage is not supposed to be broken apart is because the wife should understand that she has a commitment according to justice, and the husband should understand that he has a commitment according to justice. And they should both also simultaneously understand that they both have a commitment under the virtue of charity. And if you don't fulfill both parts of that obligation, you fail, and the marriage breaks up, and you break your home, and you scar your children. And you will be held to account, not just for the broken vows, but for the scars that you inflict on your children. And if you cannot understand that at the fundamental core, then damn it, go to a cloister. You may not necessarily have a religious vocation, but you definitely need to cloister your ass somewhere until you learn what you're supposed to be doing properly. And I say cloister because I'm not just, and I say cloister for both men and women. And if you think that's a part of the patriarchy, well, tough. Because it's the nature of creation, and creation has an order, and just because you don't like the order doesn't mean that you're going to be unaccountable to it. As I'm listening to the talk, and all I hear in the background, behind all of the things, all of the whining and the complaining and the discussions and the objections, all I hear is non serviam, non serviam, non serviam, non serviam. Completely unaware that that attitude is the core of all of the problems that you have with everything in your life.
I'm going to do what I want. You can't tell me what to do.
Even if it means you shouldn't kill? I think the only discussion that didn't rub me the wrong way, and if I'd have had the presence of, well, no, actually, if I'd have had the presence of the demonic in my heart at the time when I was in that portion of the discussion, I would have taken an undue joy of making of the fact that while I was discussing specifically the topic of abortion, no challenge could be made. Because everything I said was irrefutable. Irrefutable, objectively observable. And more than that, it wasn't, it went unchallenged, not for a lack of desire, because there was plenty of desire to object. Because what I was saying, according to this day and age, was misogynist. It drives me nuts that liberals, from the libertarian to the psychotic Marxist, can actually believe in a thing while simultaneously believing in the entire moral foundation that declares in a giant voice the direct opposite. And continued skirting around. Well, where did we get these moral values? Where did they come from? You think they just came out of thin air? Because I can show you what happens when people just make up their own moral values, and I can point right to them in history, throughout history for thousands of years. And then I can point to the one time where we actually operated on a set of rules that were not created by us, and life was better, and we were more prosperous, and we were healthier, and we were longer living. Absolutely incredible. And I suppose the frustration actually came from the fact that this was discussions with my own family. But these are the same discussions I have with coworkers, and these are the same discussions I have with my friends from the military, and the times when it really blows my mind is when it's fellow Catholics, people who I know want to follow Christ. That's when my skull is about to explode. That is the one time when I can literally feel what feels like fire burning in my brain as my skull tries to keep it all in without popping and spraying blood and guts all over the room. And no, that's actually not an emotional sensation either. Although, it would be a tremendous relief if I could just draw back my hand to approximately the 6 o'clock position of my my physical orientation in the conversation, and then swing it promptly, rapidly, and powerfully around to the 12, and maybe past the 12 to the 10. For those of you who are not familiar with the clock direction, what I just described was drawing my hand all the way back and slapping the ever-loving skin off of somebody's face. Whew. The whole ride home, wondering to myself, how do you miss the basics? How do you not just miss the basics, or when you acknowledge that the basics exist, manage to miss the fact that we ignore, as a society, all of those basics, and it's that ignoring those basics as a society that actually causes all of the death, destruction, and mayhem in our society. It's not about politics. Politics is not downstream from culture. Politics is a reflection of the cult, of the belief system in practice by the people. It is not downstream, it is a reflection of. So if there's a problem in the political landscape, there is a problem in the cult of the society. Because it's not downstream. Yes, you have to, in order for the cult of the society to express itself, it appears to be downstream, because you actually have to go down that stupid slippery slope to get to the degradation that you arrive at. But it is, in fact, a reflection of what's going on in the hearts and minds of every man, woman, and child in a nation. Well, in a state. I'm not even going to say in a nation. Because a nation, with a religious understanding, is a family, is a clan, is a tribe. That's a nation. Nation, from the Latin. Other words related to the word nation include nativity. America is not a nation. It is an amalgamation of nations that today cannot coexist with each other, and should not, because there are far more of those uncircumcised Philistines, those godless, demonically obsessed people, than there are of the people who actually follow the cult of the one true faith. There's a bunch of people who claim to follow the one true faith. But their actions don't show it. Their demeanor doesn't show it. Their mode of presentation of themselves doesn't show it. They don't dress like it. They don't talk like it. They don't act like it. Their actions are not guided by the principles in the one true faith. And they certainly, and the thing is that, and here's where it gets really fun. Protestants and Catholics alike, but I mentioned the Protestants specifically so that you understand that I am in fact talking to you. You must conform your will to God's. How do we know what's God's will? It was revealed. If you're one of those dipstick Protestants who says, if it's not in the Bible, then I don't believe it, well, newsflash. At the close of the Gospel according to St. John, it said there was a whole bunch of more crap. Not crap. That's... I want to cuss. This is, this part actually kind of enrages me enough to where I want to cuss. There were many more acts done by Jesus that were not recorded in this book. but that which was recorded so that you would believe. So how do you find out about the other acts that were not recorded in the book? Are those the acts that aren't important? If Jesus raised another 3,600 people from the dead, I mean, yes, we have the story of him raising Lazarus from the dead. We have the story of him raising himself by his own power from the dead. And those would, of course, be the most important. But we know there are other miracles attributed to Jesus. We know there are other miracles that were not maybe necessarily listed in detail because they're mentioned at least obliquely in the other scriptures. Like when Jesus rose from the dead, the graves were opened up, and the dead rose, and they began to preach the gospel. The dead rose, and they began to preach the gospel. How do you find out about the other stuff? Well, that's where it gets a little bit hinky, because that's where you have to follow the tradition. And you cannot assume that some dudes just made up the tradition. Because let me tell you what has happened to every other tradition that was made up by just some dudes. They're gone. There are two lasting traditions on this earth. And they're diametrically opposed to each other. And when I say lasting, they're not infinitely lasting. Well, one of them is infinite and is eternal. And the other one is a little bit later to the game, but has been around for a very, very long time and will eventually find itself prostrate before the feet of our Lord. There are two traditions that have survived for thousands of years, and one of them was established by God and will never end, and the other one was established by the devil that manages to keep resurging its head after it gets its ass kicked and its skull stepped on by the Virgin. But it does resurge. Why? Because the devil's a glutton for freaking punishment. But all of the other traditions that are made up by men, they're gone. We had a tradition in this nation where everyone was required, every man was required to defend himself and his family. It wasn't a mandate. Nobody wrote it down into law because it was understood. Where's that tradition? Does it exist all across America? No. It doesn't even exist in the red states for the most part. Because if it did exist in the red states, or even if it existed anywhere in this country, then Antifa would have gotten their asses shot off when they started burning down cities. And we wouldn't have controversies where young men like Kyle Rittenhouse are now controversial figures because he had the temerity to shoot somebody in his own self-defense. So clearly, even the traditions of the United States of America are largely gone. Upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States was a tradition. I mean, granted, it was a tradition so long as it was convenient, and it wasn't always convenient, and people had a tendency to set that to the side, but they only pay it lip service now, and that's only to try and shut people up or to troll them and make them go apoplectic. All of the traditions that are created by men are gone. All of the traditions that were created by the devil are still here. And all of the traditions that were established by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will never end. But all of the stuff in between, pious practices, those aren't universal. They're family traditions. It may be a clan tradition, might even be a national tradition. But the pious practices aren't mandatory, and so they're not extant everywhere, and they're not everlasting. But the doctrine of the faith is. And if you think that you're going to read a book that... If you think you're going to read a book that is at least 250 years removed from the circumstances of humanity, Because we don't have shepherds like we used to. We don't even have farmers like we used to. We don't even really have carpenters like we used to. We have carpentry in this day and age is new. It's different. There are some principles that are the same, but for the most part, it's different. Likewise with farming. Likewise with ranching. If you think that you're going to read a book that is more than 200, in fact, if you think you're going to read a book that was 30 years old and understand the full context of everything without having somebody to actually kind of go line by line, or if you didn't actually live it yourself, you honestly think you're going to understand the fullness of the book? There are people who don't understand the fullness of The Lord of the Rings. It was only written in the last century. All of the traditions are there. They're clearly enumerated. Not everything got caught up in the Peter Jackson movies, as good as they were. A 100 years from now, people are not going to understand Captain America. They may not necessarily understand Spider-Man or Batman or Superman. And you're going to understand a book that the last page was chronicled 1900 years ago, and you're not going to have to reference back to somebody else who might teach you about it in ways that you just didn't quite think about. That is cursed Protestant nonsense. And it's you saying non serviam. I go to work, I hear non serviam. I visit family, I hear non serviam. I hang out with friends, I hear non serviam. Even in church, I occasionally hear non serviam. Not as loudly as it was when I was in the when I attended the Novus Ordo. But I still hear non serviam in the church. And it's evoking in me a very similar reaction to when I discovered, to each time I discover in hindsight when the devil got me, and he managed to trick me into doing something that I thought I wanted to do, but turned out I was just being lazy, or I was just being needy, or I was just being weak. And it drives me nuts to the point where there are times when I actually take time out to reflect on it, I realize I'm glad that the Blessed Mother crushes the serpent's head. I'm glad that the devil's defeated by the cross. But I just want to take a baseball bat to Lucifer and beat him to death. It would be the heightened, the paramount heights of sensual ecstasy to spend all of my energy with a stick beating every demon I came across to death. Particularly all of the ones that managed to haunt me through my own life. It would just be... it'd be snuff porn. Because every time I see, sense, because I don't see them, and I don't feel them, but every time I sense that they're around, the moment I'm keyed into their presence, I just want to choke them. I just want to wring whatever it is that stands for their neck. because I'm so over this rebellion. I'm just over it. Because there are a huge number of people who are perfectly content with choosing the rebellion and staying that way, even knowing, even if they knew the level of pain and suffering and damnation that is eternal that was coming their way, just like the devils. I'm just over it. I just want to pull a chair, a nice comfy folding chair off to the sideline with a big old bag of popcorn, and I just want to watch the death and destruction take place and hear the whining and complaining and bitching that it's taking place coming from the very people who caused it. But I know that if I do that, I will take part in all of the mayhem that I personally have caused. Because our God is a just God, and in all honesty, the last thing I want to face is God's justice in my life. Pray for our nation. Pray for your families. Pray for the church. Because while I didn't specifically talk about their shenanigans, you can certainly see where their shenanigans fit into what I did talk about. And if you've got just a little bit extra, if you would, please pray for me. Because I clearly need it too. Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio Est. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.